Let's open our Bibles together this morning to Mark chapter 5, and let's talk about the King of the world. Because he really is the King of the world, and he really is bigger than anything you and I are facing today. And if we'll just learn how to give it to him and let go of it and let him have control, God can take care of anything that's going on in our life. Let's pray together as we prepare to read this from Mark chapter 5. Father, we are grateful this morning for yet another opportunity to gather together in this place in the name of your Son, Jesus, and to study your holy word, Father, the scriptures that you've given to us that we might know you, that we might know who you are and how much you love us, that we might know and come to believe the greatness of the potential of what you can and are willing to do in our lives if we will just trust our lives into your hands today. We thank you, Father, that you are indeed and always have been and will be the King of the world. What we need today, Jesus, is for you to be king in us. We ask you to make it so, and we give you praise for it. For your name's sake, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 5 is a very familiar passage of Scripture that I want to share with you this morning and talk about. This past Wednesday night, we looked at a verse of Scripture in John chapter 11 where Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus. He's gone there after Lazarus has passed away. Lazarus' sisters have invited Jesus to come back there to minister to Lazarus. He's already passed away before Jesus gets there. He's laid in the tomb. They still believe that Jesus can do anything. Whatever they ask of God the Father, God will do it. But they don't really, I don't believe as I read that passage of Scripture, they don't really understand what it is that Jesus really wants to do and is going to do in that given situation. And as he's standing before the tomb of Lazarus, and Martha questions the Lord, Jesus wants to open the tomb because he wants to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so in his request to open the tomb, Martha responds, well, he's been dead for 4 days and there's going to be a stench if you open that tomb, and maybe we just ought to leave well enough alone. Jesus looks at Martha and he says to her, did I not say to you, if you will only believe, you will see the glory of God? And I want to talk to you today about seeing the glory of God, how you and I, by that simple act of faith and truly trusting and believing in the Lord, can see the glory of God. Now, let me just say this. When it comes to your life and my life, we're going to let God define what it means to reveal his glory. We're going to let God define what it is that he's going to do. We're not going to try to tell God what he ought to be doing in our lives. But what we're going to do is we're going to trust the word of the Lord. We're going to believe the word of God. We're going to trust that whatever God tells us in the scriptures, and in more particularly what God tells us by his spirit in our own heart, that God is more than able and certainly willing to do, and his word will come to pass. If you and I can learn to really believe in the Lord, I'm talking about really believing in the Lord. And that's sort of what I want to focus on this morning. What does that mean to believe? If believing is the key, and he says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And that's an awesome promise. The question has to become at that point then, what does it mean to believe? What is faith and what does faith look like? And we want to look at this passage of Scripture today to get a picture of real Bible faith and see what it looks like. Because he tells us, Jesus is telling us that faith is the key to seeing anything that God wants to do in your life and my life. Faith is the key that opens the door for whatever it is God wants to accomplish in our lives. Whether it's victory over a habit or a sin, whether it's to transform our life and to turn us and to make us more like Christ, as we've been talking about for several weeks now. Maybe it's a miracle that you need in your life, like the people that we read about in this passage in just a moment, Whatever the need is, if you and I can come to truly believe in the Lord, we can see the hand of God move in that situation and see God turn things around for us. Let's read together from Mark chapter 5, verse 21. I want to read all the way through the end of the chapter. It's very familiar to you, but this is a passage of scripture that always blesses my heart and always challenges me to really believe in Jesus, to really place my life into His hands, let Him have it so that He can do what He wants to do there. Let's see if our faith looks like Bible faith, okay? Because what we're going to look at here today is the picture of real Bible faith. Mark chapter 5, verse 21, it says, Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side. A large crowd had gathered around Him, and so He stayed by the shore. Let me just set the stage for you what's happening here. Jesus had gotten into the boat one day with His disciples. They had crossed the Sea of Galilee. They had come to the region of the Gadarenes and met a man over there who was demonized. Jesus delivered that man from the demon spirits. The people in the community, when they came out and saw the man had been delivered, were so fearful of Jesus, they asked Him to leave. Now that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know. When they saw the miracle had taken place, when they saw the power had been displayed, they asked Jesus to leave. And the only thing that I can figure out from that is that maybe these people were just in a place where they were not willing to let go of control of their lives and let Jesus have control. They could see that He could if He wanted to. And so rather than surrender to the Lord, they just told Him to leave. They told Him to get out of town, to go back to where He came from. Maybe they were like some of us. How many of you know there are people in the world today, hopefully none of us, but there are people in the world today who have the mindset of, if I can just hide from God for a while, maybe God will go away and leave me alone and I won't have to deal with Him. Can I tell you today that every one of us, sooner or later, are going to have to deal with God. And it's better to do it on this side of the grave than wait until you see Him on the other side of the grave. You better get it right now, brother and sister. You better get it fixed today and not wait until you see Him on the other side. Because I'll tell you, if you don't do anything about God until you get on the other side, it's going to be too late. And it's not going to be a whole lot of fun when God has to deal with you there. So we need to get beyond that attitude of, let's just get away from God. Maybe God will leave us alone. Look, we don't want God to leave us alone. I love that passage of scripture in Psalms where David tells us in Psalms, he says, where can I go from your spirit? No matter where I go, there you are. And David's not complaining. He's grateful for the fact that no matter where he finds himself in life and no matter what he's going through in life, God is always there to be with him in that situation and to walk with him through that season of life. And you and I need to understand, and most of us are old enough to realize that we do need God all the time in our life, through every season, and we go through trials and tests and various seasons in life, and we always need God to be with us there. And if we can trust God through whatever season we're going through, you and I can see the glory of God. Bad financial situation, we can see the glory of God. Bad marital situation, we can see the glory of God. Bad problem with addiction or something like, we can see the glory of God. God has the answer. God has the fix for every problem we find ourselves in. If we will surrender to the Lord and truly believe, we will see the glory of God. Now let's look at what faith really looks like. Bible faith, not American faith, Bible faith. Verse 22, Jesus has now got back in the boat. They told Him to leave, so He did. Oh, dear Lord. Did you hear what I just said? They told Jesus to leave, and so He did. You tell Jesus to leave you alone, He will. He'll let you have your way. He'll let you go. He won't like it, but He'll let you go. He's come back now to where He had begun that journey across the sea. And on that particular day, verse 22, one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing Him fell at His feet and implored Him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And He went off with him, and a large crowd was following Him and pressing in on Him. And a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years had endured much at the hands of many physicians. She's a part of that crowd. Had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse after hearing about Jesus. You should underline that in your Bible. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. Excuse me. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? He looked around to see the woman who had done this, and the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith, watch this, your faith has made you well. Her faith had played a part in the miracle that she had just received. It wasn't merely a sovereign act of God. Her faith had played a part. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, there came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? But Jesus, overhearing what had been spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid, only believe. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw commotion, and the people loudly weeping and wailing, and entering in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. They began laughing at Jesus, but putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. And immediately, they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given her to eat. So let's take a look at this passage of Scripture real quickly, and let's look at what real Bible faith looks like, and let's compare our faith to Bible faith and see if we have what the Bible calls faith. Let's look at the players in this story and just sort of break it down that way this morning. The players in the story, first of all, there's Jesus. There's Jesus and his disciples. We've already described for you where they've been, where they've come from, what they've been having to deal with. And it's interesting to me the comparison between the place where he just left and the people that have just met him. The place where he was, they said, man, get out of here. But when he came back across the lake, here are two people who came to him in order to embrace him. One crowd said, go. The other crowd, or the other at least two, said, we are coming to meet with you. They had that strong desire to meet with the Lord. The next group we want to talk about here this morning is the crowd. Verses 21 and 24 tell us that there's a large crowd. And we don't know exactly how large it was, but it was enough people that there was a throng of people all around. They're all around Jesus as he's trying to make his journey. They're pressing in on him. And here's the interesting thing to me. Out of this entire crowd of people, only two see the power of God. And I wonder if this doesn't in some ways paint a picture for us of the Church of Jesus Christ today, at least again, the American church, where there is always a lot of people around, but not a whole lot of people receiving anything from the Lord. A lot of people who are gathering together, and even in this case, they're pressing in, they're getting close to Jesus, they're touching him in a physical way, but there are going to be two people who touch him in a different way. They're going to touch him with faith, and they're going to touch him at the level of the heart. And because they are willing to press in and to get through and to get to Jesus in faith, these two people are going to receive what they need from the Lord. They are Jairus and a woman. Comparing these two people actually teaches us a pretty significant truth. Look at these two people that receive miracles from Jesus in this story. One's name is Jairus. Scholars tell us that when somebody's mentioned in the Bible by name, it's probably because they are pretty prominent And the readers of the book that has been written, the author believes that they would recognize who he is because he's so prominent. And so we have the man here by the name of Jairus that's mentioned by Mark. We know that he is the ruler of the synagogue. That means he is somebody who is significant, somebody who is a leader, somebody who is known, somebody who has reputation, somebody who has power and authority in the community, somebody who is a respected person in the community. On the other hand, the other end, we have a woman. No name, nothing else about her, except the fact that she's had a disease for a dozen years. It's cost her everything she had, and now she's living in poverty. We've got a man of great position, power, wealth, respect in the community, and an unknown woman who has nothing. She needs the Lord. First of all, both of them need the Lord. Both of them need the Lord. And both of them come to the Lord. I think the picture that Mark wants us to see by putting these two stories together in this way and sharing both of these stories together in the way that he does is to show to us that Jesus is here for every person. Doesn't matter your social status. Doesn't matter your position or your wealth. Doesn't matter your gender. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. All that matters to Jesus is that you are a human being created in the likeness and image of God and needing the glory of God in your life. We all need Jesus. These two people needed Jesus for miracles. The truth of the matter is we all need Jesus. And we all have, listen, here's what I want you to see. Too many times we look at the stories of the Bible, we see the people of the Bible, we see what happens to them as a result of God's moving in their life or their faith or whatever it might be. And we look at people in the Bible and we often say, well, yeah, that's the Bible. What I want you to see today is that these people have nothing on you and me. That every one of us have the same potential to demonstrate faith and to have faith in God and to see God move in our lives in the exact same ways that Jesus moves in the lives of these two people. Watch this. Both of them, apart from Jesus, are helpless and hopeless and desperate. And sometimes we feel that way in life, don't we? Helpless, hopeless, desperate for somebody to do something. Jesus is there to do for them what they need, just as Jesus is here for us today to do for us what we need. We may be in a situation where naturally we need a miracle like they do. Certainly their story is a picture of our spiritual condition. Hopeless, helpless, apart from Jesus, destitute, and in need of a miracle. Do you understand today that you need a miracle spiritually? Every one of us needs a spiritual miracle. You're in a state, the Bible tells us, when you come into this world, you're born into a state of separation from God. And the Bible tells us the bad news is we're separated from God, and the worst news is there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You need a miracle from God. And all you can do is believe and trust the Lord. And if you're willing to do that, you can see the glory of God. Both of these people expect miracles because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have that kind of faith that will see the miracle because they have what the Bible really calls faith. Let's look first of all at Jairus' faith. I want you to see the picture of the faith of this synagogue official as he comes to Jesus in need of a miracle for his daughter. Remember again the adversarial role between Jesus and the Jewish leaders of his day. Jewish leaders were always just out to get Jesus. They were out to put him to a test in order to catch him in some lie, some reason where they could just do away with him, whether it be just discrediting him before the people, or in the end, ultimately, just doing away with him, killing him outright. And this was their whole goal and their whole modus operandi, the reason they did the things that they did. And there was just always this adversarial role between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. And here's a ruler of the Jews who comes to Jesus in need. Now think about that for just a moment. Think about yourself being a part of a group that hates this other dude out there. And you're a part of that group, but now all of a sudden you're in a place in your life, a situation has arisen in your life, and you know the only way you're going to get solution and help is that you're going to have to go meet that fella. You're going to have a change of heart, and you're going to have to, you realize this man can do something, and you're going to have to go to him. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to go to him. You're going to have to ask him to do the miracle that only he can do in your life. Consider Jairus' situation as he looks at the situation, knowing this. The rest of the Jews, they still hate Jesus. Okay? If Jairus is seen running with Jesus, it's likely he's going to lose his position in the community, his position in the synagogue, his income, his relationship with the people. He'll likely be excommunicated for being seen with Jesus. And yet, because of the desperation of the need of the moment, and because of the faith that he has in his heart where Jesus is concerned, he's willing to give up everything in order to get to Jesus. For a man like Jairus to be seen bowing at the feet of Jesus, it's virtual, social, political, economic suicide. And yet he's willing to humble himself and openly bow at the feet of Jesus, not caring. Listen, brother and sister, I want you to hear this, because here is a key to real faith, real Bible faith. Jairus doesn't care what anybody else thinks about him. Now think about that with me for just a moment. Jairus doesn't care what anybody else thinks about him. Contrast that. He's bowing at the feet of Jesus publicly. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks about him. Contrast that to so many of us in church who in church, among people who declare a similar faith, behind walls and closed doors where the world can't see us, so many of us have too much pride that we're not willing to bow our knee in prayer or lift our hands in worship to God, too embarrassed because of what other people might think about us. Can I just say this to you today, brother and sister? If you care more about what people think about you than what God thinks about you, you probably don't have a strong faith. Your faith is dependent upon the approval of people rather than the approval of God. We see his faith in the fact that he's willing to come in spite of everything to bow at the feet of Jesus. Verse 23, we hear his faith. Imploring Jesus earnestly, he says, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her. And watch this, she will get well and live." There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it where Jairus is concerned. If Jesus comes, this thing is over. If Jesus comes, his daughter will be healed. No questions about it. This is his faith. And as you read down through the rest of this story, Jairus doesn't move from that position of faith despite opportunities that will arise moving forward. Let's take a look at those opportunities. Those opportunities for Jairus to give up, those opportunities for Jairus to quit believing and to walk away from Jesus begin with another person who comes while they're on the way to Jairus' house in the form of a woman who herself is in need of a miracle. As they head off for Jairus' house, a woman comes through the crowd. Now consider this woman and look at the faith of this woman. This woman comes to Jesus in faith, believing that she too can receive a miracle. This is a woman who has an issue of blood. We don't know exactly what that is. We can probably imagine what it might be. Nevertheless, it is a condition that would qualify her, according to the laws of Israel, to be considered what they would call unclean. In other words, in this state, whatever this issue is, in this state that she is in, she is ceremonially unclean and should not be out in public. If she is out in public, anybody that touches her, they also become unclean. And listen, if you know anything about the Jewish rules and regulations and laws, when you're unclean, it's a whole thing. And this is a whole process that you've got to go through of cleansing and waiting and sacrificing and all of these things and then presenting yourself to the priest in order for them to declare, okay, now you're kosher again, now you can go back out in public. But not only that, if this woman is out in public in this way and causing others to be unclean, and she is determined by the rulers of the Jews to be in rebellion and out deliberately in this state, defiling everybody else, the law tells them that if they have a mind to, they can actually stone her to death for being out there. This is what she's facing when she goes out in public to meet with Jesus. But just like Jairus, hear me, she doesn't care what anybody else thinks. She's going to come to Jesus. She believes he can give the miracle that she needs. And look at it with me in verse 27. Look at verse 27 and see why she has this kind of faith. Verse 27 tells us, after hearing about Jesus. After hearing about Jesus. We see the demonstration of her faith. We hear the demonstration of her faith. We know that in her faith is a very in her heart is a very strong faith, and the reason she has that faith is that she has heard about Jesus. This passage of scripture is one of those passages of scriptures that was preached to me many years ago when I first really began to believe and see and the ability and the potential of what God could do in my life over the course of this journey through life many, many years ago. And this passage of scripture, and in particular that phrase, after hearing about Jesus, means so much to me because one of the, and I've shared this with you all the time, one of the most important verses that I ever learned in the Bible is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Brother and sister, hear this. If faith is the key to everything, and it is, if faith is the key to everything, miracles, transforming power, deliverance, healings, salvations, restoration of life, whatever it is, if faith is the key, and it is, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world, John tells us. Faith is the key that unlocks the grace of God into our life, the Bible tells us. If faith is the key, the next question has to be, how can I have this kind of faith? If faith is the key, how do I get it? The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You and I can, listen, this woman heard about Jesus. If you and I will hear the word of the Lord, if we will hear God speak to us through the pages of Scripture, if we will hear God speak to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, faith will come to our heart and we can have the faith that we need to see the grace of the Lord released into our life and the power of God to demonstrate whatever it is God wants to do. Faith is the key. How do we have it? By hearing the word of God. How do we do that? Here's the important part. Now, we don't know exactly how she happened to hear what she heard. We know the Spirit of the Lord has revealed the truth because she's got the faith. She proves that by her actions and her words. Jairus will as well, and Jesus will speak to his faith. But here's the thing. How do we have faith? How do we hear the Lord? Two things you can do. You can either sit back and wait and hope that maybe one day God speaks to you, in which case you probably won't recognize his voice when he does anyway. Or, hear this, can I make it simple for you? If you want to hear the word of the Lord, can I make it real simple? If you want to hear God speak to you, talk to God. Start a conversation with God. God's not so rude that he's going to turn his back on you and walk away from you and ignore you. If you'll talk to God, God will talk to you. Start a conversation with the Lord. Start a conversation with the Lord when you read the Bible. When we read the Bible, we ought to read it every time with the idea, Lord, speak to me. There was that song a few years ago, Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. Lord, as I open your Bible today, speak to my heart by your Spirit. Pray and talk to God. Ask God, Lord, what is your will for my life today? Most of the time when we pray, we spend all of our time in prayer telling God what to do, and then we get up and walk away from God, and we never give God the opportunity to speak back into our heart. And instead of just telling God what to do, we ought to stop and listen, wait for God to tell us what to do. And listen to the voice of the Lord. God wants to talk to you and me. God wants to. You were created for relationship with God. You were created for intimacy with God. You were created for communion with God. You were created. What happened when God created Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden? The Bible said they would walk and talk together. God created you to have somebody to talk to. God wants to talk to you. And when he speaks, faith comes. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:2 that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. How does he author faith in our heart? By speaking to us. Because faith comes by hearing the word. God wants to speak to us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons you and I have the Holy Spirit is so that we can hear the word of the Lord and have it revealed to us in our spirit. Spirit to spirit, deep to deep, the psalmist says. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us. Proverbs tell us, God has made the hearing ear. If God didn't want to talk to you, he wouldn't have given you ears. You have ears because he wants you to hear. And he wants to speak to you and he wants to speak to me. And if we'll listen, faith will come. And this woman heard the word of the Lord. And faith came to her heart. And this woman had so much faith, she didn't care what anybody thought. She didn't care that people didn't like her being out in public in the condition she was in. She didn't care, listen to this, she didn't care that the crowd that she was just about to press her way through to get to Jesus, she didn't care that one of the people in the crowd was the ruler of the synagogue named Jairus, who was one of the people that could have judged her for being out in public. She didn't care. All she knew was this: if I touch the hem of his garment, I will get well. And she said it. In fact, this translation says, let's see if I can find it real quick for you. For she thought, verse 28, the New American Standard that I read from says, for she thought, if I just touch his garments, I shall get well. Your Bible may say, for she said to herself or said within herself. Literal translation of the phrase there was this: for she kept saying over and over again, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll get well. If I just touch the hem of that garment, I'll get well. If I can just touch the hem of the garment, I will get well. By her actions and by her words, she proves that she has the faith to see the miracle released into her life. Both of these people, by their actions and by their words, prove that they have the tenacity of faith. Both of them had opportunity to quit. Both of them had the opportunity to quit. Let's go ahead and look at the rest of the story here about Jairus. Remember that Jairus has come to Jesus and his daughter is sick and his daughter is dying. And he says, Jesus, come and make her well. And so Jesus starts off with him. As they are going, this woman stops Jesus, receives a miracle from the Lord. And then, while Jairus is standing there waiting for Jesus, Jesus and the woman have a conversation together. Now, can you imagine yourself as in Jairus' footsteps standing there, waiting for Jesus to come and heal your child that's sick and dying at home, and Jesus is stopping to talk to somebody else? I can almost imagine what I'd do. I'd grab Jesus by the arm and say, hey, look, she's been sick for 12 years. Another few minutes, not going to hurt her a bit. Get home to my house. Let's take care of my daughter before she dies. Jairus never says a word. Jairus just stands there and waits patiently for the Son of God. Did you know the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 that it is by faith and patience that we receive the promises of the Lord? And Jairus demonstrates the kind of faith that patiently waits upon the Lord to see the glory revealed in his life. The woman with the issue of blood, she had every opportunity to forget it, to throw in the towel, to quit. She could have come out of her house and seen the crowd that was around Jesus and thought, man, I'll never get through that crowd of people. There are too many people out there. Jesus is not going to have time for me. He's too busy. He didn't have time to wait on me and to take care of me. I've been sick for so long. It doesn't matter whether I get to Jesus or not. She had every opportunity. And listen, if you know anything about the devil, you got to know he was dropping those thoughts into her mind every second. You've been sick too long. There's too many people out there. Jesus is too busy. Hey, you're just a woman anyway. That's what society would tell her. You have no status. You're a nobody. You're insignificant. You don't deserve that. You know as well as I do, that's exactly the kind of thing the devil tells us anytime we come to God about a need in our life. You don't deserve that. You're a nobody. You're just a sinner. And you got to know the devil was doing that to her continually, and yet she refused to quit. She refused to give up. She knew in her heart, because the Lord had spoken to her heart, if she just touched the hem of his garment, she would get well. And she had the kind of tenacious faith that would not quit. She had the kind of relentless faith that would not let go. So did Jairus. When the story turns back to Jairus, here's what you hear. For Jairus, the news goes from bad to worse. The news for Jairus was he's got a daughter that's sick. Far as he knows, she could be well on her way to dying. And as he's coming back home with Jesus, messengers come from his house and say, don't bother Jesus anymore. It's too late. She's already dead. And Jairus, too, had opportunity to just quit believing and walk away from the Son of God and give up and throw in the towel. I think it's the NIV translation that says that about this time, the messengers come out with the bad news for Jairus. And the NIV translation implies it, or it says this, I believe. It says, Jesus ignored the messengers. Can I say something to you today? Listen, Jesus was on his way to heal this man's daughter. This man had already said, if you'll just come, she will get well. His faith is absolute that if Jesus comes, she'll get well, and Jesus is on the way. His faith is absolute that his daughter is going to get well. The bad news comes, it's too late, she's already dead. And Jesus ignores the bad news. Can I say this to you today? Brother and sister, when God speaks to your heart, and listen, it's between you and God, and only you and God know the truth of what he's saying to you. But when you know that you know that you know that God has spoken a promise to your heart and to your life, and you know that God is wanting to do something in your life if you'll just cooperate with him, when you know that you've heard from God, any other voice that says anything to the contrary, you would be wise to just ignore. Jesus ignored the bad news because he knew what he could do. And he turns to Jairus and he says, Jairus, you've been believing. You came to me in faith. You came and asked me to come, and you declared your faith that if I came, I'd heal her. And Jesus says to Jairus, Jairus, don't stop believing now. Don't get over into fear now. Don't listen to the unbelief now. Just keep on believing. Hold on to your faith. And Jairus has the tenacity of faith, the relentless faith that will not let go of the promise of God. And because he has that kind of faith, he sees the glory and receives the miracle that he needs for his life. See, this is where faith is proven. And every time in the scriptures, when you see people of faith coming to Jesus, there's always a test of some kind. There's always something to hinder them. There's always something. Maybe even Jesus himself would wait to see if they really have tenacious faith, or do they have a weak faith that will let go. Do they have a weak faith? We may look at Bartimaeus next week. That'd be a good one to follow up with. A man of tenacious faith. Bartimaeus cries out to the Lord. The people say, hush, be still. Don't bother Jesus. You're just a blind man and he ain't got time for you. Bartimaeus ignores the naysayers. You and I, when we have heard from God, would be wise to ignore the naysayers and hold on to what the Lord has said to us in faith. Because if we will have that kind of tenacious faith, listen, here's the question. What's louder to you? That voice of fear, that voice of unbelief, that voice of doubt, that voice of worry? Is that the loud voice? Or is the loud voice you hear what the Bible calls a still small voice? Does the still small voice drown out the shouts of unbelief in your life? That's how you know you've got real Bible faith. Relentless, undying, unchanging, unwavering faith in the Lord. The woman with the issue of blood had it. Jairus had it. They both received a miracle from the Lord, because both of them held on to the word of God. And hear it, one word from God can change your life forever. God's word, and by the way, Jesus is the word of God. The word of God, the Lord himself, listen, these things are the game changers in our life. These things can change reality into something that we never dreamed could happen if we can just believe. How many of you know there's a difference between truth and fact? Fact is, the woman was sick for 12 years. The fact is, Jairus' daughter was sick and about to die. But the truth is, Jesus is healer, savior, Lord, and king of the world. Brother and sister, when you and I can believe that, the truth, hear this, the truth can change the facts. The truth can change the facts. And we can see the goodness of the Lord. He delights to bless. He delights to save, heal, and deliver. God is good, and so many scriptures tell us of the goodness of the Lord and how he is on our side. And both Jairus and this woman had that relentless, tenacious faith that never quits, that never gives up. The faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. Faith that pleases God believes that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. They had that relentless kind of faith that receives the glory of the Lord. And they are no different from you and I. We can have that faith as well. And we can see the glory of God released in the circumstances of our lives if we will keep believing in the Lord. Father, we thank you today for the potential that we see in the scriptures for our very own lives. Father, help us to recognize that the people we've read about today are just mere mortal people just like us. And they had nothing that we don't have. In fact, we have more than they do. Because we have the resurrected Son of God, who not only lives with us, but dwells in us. And we have the scriptures and the story of their lives to be encouraged in our faith, to know the potential of what you can do for us if we will just simply believe. Thank you, Father, that if we believe, we will see the glory of God. We thank you for it, Lord, in Christ's name. We want to stay in an attitude of prayer for a few moments before we dismiss you this morning. There are a couple of issues that we want to continue to pray about. Some of you are aware that Gay Eubanks' granddaughter, Haley, is pregnant. She's only at about 7 months, but she began having labor pains yesterday and was in the hospital for a while. They've asked us to pray for Haley and for the child. Haley, as I understand this morning, is back home. But the child, again, is only 7 months along. We want to pray for Haley and for the child, for their well-being and for their health, and for the Lord to reveal himself to that whole family through what that family is going through right now. Also, our brother Doug over here is having a heart catheterization done in the morning. Doug has been experiencing a little shortness of breath, and even though a stress test doesn't show anything, they want to go in and do a little further examination to see what's going on with Doug. And we want to pray with Doug today and trust God to be with Doug as he goes to the hospital tomorrow and trust that all is well. If they do see anything, they'll just be able to get it fixed and send Doug back home good as new. But we're going to pray together for that. Again, many of our people are on vacation this week. We want to take them before the Lord. Larry Gallier, David's brother, we want to continue to pray for Larry. Larry's had a couple of good days here recently, and we thank God for that. We want to commit him to the Lord and trust God's work in his life as well. So if you would, please, why don't we go ahead and stand together, and let's pray together over these things today. And a couple of you guys, if you would, please, I want you to lay hands on Doug over there for me, if you would, please, as we pray for him. Let's agree together with Doug as he goes to the hospital tomorrow morning, and for the family as well as they wait. Father, we have read today from the Word of God what you are capable of in our lives if we'll believe. And Father, I can't say what you've spoken to Larry or to Doug or to Haley or any of the rest of them, but I know, Father, what the Scriptures tell me about what ultimately your will is in the life of all of your people. The Scriptures make it clear that Jesus has not only borne our sins, but our sicknesses and diseases at Calvary's cross. And your word tells us, God, that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. We choose to believe the word of the Lord today, God. We choose to believe that your word is true. So Lord, as our brothers lay hands on Doug this morning, we agree together in faith that this procedure that Doug will have tomorrow will merely be an instrument in your hand to bring him to better health. We trust and believe that that is so, that by tomorrow afternoon, Doug will feel better than even he does right now. We trust your work in his life to make that so, and we give you praise for that. Father, we pray again over Larry Gallier today, God, and lift him to you, and we thank you for his faith in you today, Lord, and the absolute certainty that he has of his home going should this be his season. God, we rejoice with him and his family in that, and for the certainty of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We would pray continually for a miracle, God, for Larry, believing nothing's impossible for you, even when the doctors say the cancer is inoperable. Even when the doctors say the cancer is terminal and there's nothing we can do. God, we thank you for wonderful doctors and nurses and health care and all that you have made possible and available to us in this lifetime. But God, we know that these things, imperfect as they are, cannot do what you absolutely can. And so, Father, we would ask for a miracle for Larry. We pray for the families, the Gentry and Gallier families, Lord, these next few days. Pray for the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit to be with them. We thank you, Lord, for watching over and taking care of our precious loved ones. We pray for Haley today, Father. And Lord, I pray for that whole family. And God, this is a family that desperately needs to know you. I pray, Father, that through what Haley is going through, that the family would draw close to you, Father, and they would cry out to you, God, and they would listen to you, and you would speak to their hearts, and you would draw them close to yourself. And I pray, God, you would use this as an opportunity for transformation and for salvation for so many that need Christ. You would make an awesome and unbelievable difference in the lives of these dear and precious people. I pray specifically for Haley and for the baby she's carrying. You would watch over them, Lord. And you would keep them both well. And you would not bring this child into this world until the appropriate time. And that when the child comes into the world, mother and child will both be healthy. Be with them, Father, and watch over them, I pray. Thank you for this day, Father, for reminding us of how awesome you are. For reminding us that nothing is impossible for you. And for reminding us likewise that nothing is impossible for him who believes. Father, help us to take our responsibility seriously. Help us to see our responsibility. To position ourselves, to hear your voice, to start a conversation with you, to talk to you and to listen for you. Father, when you speak, we choose to receive and believe what you say. We believe not a word you speak will fall to the ground, but every word will be accomplished in our lives. We thank you for that. And so, Father, I commend this congregation to you today. I thank you for these that are here. I pray over the many that are away. Bring them back safely to us. And help us all gather together in your name to grow in faith and in the knowledge of the truth and in the experience of the Son of God that will glorify him and honor him in this world. Watch over these precious people now, Father, as we go our separate ways. Have your way in us. For the glory of your Son, we pray. Through Christ our Lord. Let's sing together as we're dismissed this morning. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay. In your presence, day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. Thank y'all so much for being with us today. We trust you have a good day in the Lord. Believe God for great things in your life. He loves you and he cares about you.